You're listening to a bonus episode of the Jurassic Park Podcast. Enjoy.
This is a game trail, Mr. Ludlow. Carnivores hunt on game trail.
Hey, Hammond's coming online.
Get over there!
So people think that robots are the future.
This is a game trail, Game trail.
Thinking machine supercomputers and virtual reality displays.
This is a game we call hide and seek. It's a scent drill. We've done it about 1,000 times with these animals.
This is a game trail.
Wait to engage.
Look at these creatures. They've got millions of years of instinct in their cells. Instinct that we can program.
Herd the animal into a kill zone. That's when we take our shot. Get a clear shot, wait on my command, and give her everything you got.
I hate computers. This new program's incredible.
Violence and technology, not good bedfellows.
This is a game trail.
Hey, Jurassic fans, and welcome to The Game Trail, the Jurassic Park podcast segment where we cover all things Jurassic gaming. I'm Aaron Beyer, and I am as sick as a Triceratops today, but I'm still joined by Brad Jost to discuss our first reactions for Jurassic World Evolution. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm very tired after a long day of playing Jurassic World Evolution.
We've been playing this all day. Yeah. We were kind of hoping that we would maybe get some early copies, but that didn't happen. No one got early copies, it feels like, out there. And so, yeah, we've been playing all day to bring you these like first reactions, gut reactions to the game. What were your expectations going in?
Well, you know, I was just thrilled like to have something along these lines. You know, I was very much looking forward to playing this game, obviously. But I thought, you know, I had never had the chance to really play Jurassic Park Operation Genesis. I was more of a Roller Coaster Tycoon guy back in those days, and I still love that game. And I think that's like one of the most perfect park builders in that sense. So, you know, knowing that there was going to be a Jurassic World version of that, I was so pumped, so excited to play. And, you know, talking with James Hawkins, Steve Hurrell, and Tom Fischenden, who we actually sent out to Frontier recently, they came back saying like they were thrilled by everything. It was a blast playing the game, so that just hyped me up even more.
Yeah, I think my expectations were, having played Frontier's version of Tycoon and then having also played the original Operation Genesis, I was kind of thinking it was going to be just a mix between the two. I was worried that it would lean more into like their Zoo Tycoon version, which you could only have like so many animals and so much land, and it really leans into Operation Genesis. If you're a Genesis fan, I think this is a win for you. But at the same time, most people were calling it Operation Genesis 2.0. I definitely feel like it's Operation Genesis 1.5, if that makes any sense.
Okay, I can see why.
You know, it's not exactly what I was expecting, but it's still a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, yeah. I know, you know, this. How many hours were we playing today? I know I started at midnight, actually, and played until like 2:30 a.m., and I kind of did that by myself. I didn't have anybody else on the line with me. I wasn't streaming. I was just kind of like taking it all in because I wanted to hear the sounds of the parks. I wanted to hear, you know, the voice actors and just everything about it. I just wanted to kind of focus on that. And then today we played, this is the release day, we played, man, I played from what, like 8:30 until 5:30-ish today?
Yeah.
Like literally nonstop. I think I maybe like stopped for bathroom break once or twice. Maybe. I think I literally grabbed a piece of bread and ate that. That's my day today. I had some coffee and some bread. And I was like, you know, just a teenager again, just sitting at home playing video games. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I have to say, I probably put about 10 to 11 hours in today as well. Just to say, like, am I a little disappointed with it? Maybe. But at the same time, I put in 12 hours and I can't wait to go back. So just because it's not exactly what I expected doesn't mean it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. As we were playing, we kept saying back and forth to each other because there was a lot of us in our chat, and everybody was saying, "Oh my God, can you believe this game? This is amazing! I can't believe it. I'm having so much fun." You said it, I said it, everybody else said it, and we all sat there for that long, you know, those many hours. And at the same time, we all did nitpick here and there. So I think that's fair play, because you're going to nitpick about anything, whether it's your favorite game, your favorite movie, anything. there's always some nitpicks, and I know we have a few, but they don't really hinder my play, you know?
No, and you can easily criticize things that you love, right? That's what I think makes our opinion fairly valid when it comes to this game. Maybe not in all video games, but specifically this game. So let's talk about the pros. What was like a pro that you had?
Well, I just thought the game looked beautiful. You know, that was one of the things that hooked me right away because I haven't played a park builder or anything like that in this age where the graphics are so much better than before. I'm playing on a PlayStation 4. I think you were playing on that too, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I'm on a PlayStation 4.
So, it just looked beautiful. And I loved the dinosaur renderings. I thought they looked fantastic. The scenery, like the landscape and all that, looked stellar. And the vehicles, everything worked really well. All in one place. It felt real. It felt like just lived in. It was very beautiful for me.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about like the vehicles, and one of the pros that I have is great nods to the film. You know, one of the unlocks is the ability to unlock the original Jurassic Park Jeep. It's a little weird being in Jurassic World, but it's a great nod to the fans. I think people were wanting Jurassic Park skins, and while we didn't get like a ton, even like on dinosaurs, they don't necessarily look exactly like the paint jobs from Jurassic Park. We did get this one vehicle that's really cool. It's an unlock. And like even the music when you're in the car, because again, it's off the coast of Costa Rica, all the employees, it's Spanish, right? So They're listening to like music. And one of the tracks in the car was this music playing when you first meet Dodson at the outside cantina. So I thought that was really like a really cool touch.
Yeah, that song, you know, I don't know, I don't speak Spanish, so I don't really know what's going on in that song, unfortunately. That's on me. But that song is so recognizable to me because of that scene, because it's such an iconic scene. And, you know, the moment that taxi cab rolls up to that little cafe and he gets out of the vehicle, the cab driver kind of like gives him a shoulder because he didn't close the door or tip him or anything. And just everything about that music stood out to me. And the second I heard it play in that Jeep, I was like, oh my God, this is great. This is fantastic. What a little nod to the fans. And like you said, that skin for the Jeep, I was able to unlock a few different skins, like just a standard blue, red. There was a few different, like, I think there was a few different blues, but, I don't know. We played this game for, like you said, like 11, 12, 13 hours, and we don't know everything that's unlockable yet, but everything that I saw so far was fantastic.
No, and we should say, for as much as we've played, I have only unlocked... So there's six islands, one of which being Nublar, which is a sandbox, and out of the six, I've only unlocked three. So that just kind of goes to show you maybe how long you can expect. And honestly, the second one I'm on... let's put it this way. I've unlocked three, but I'm really only on the second island, and it's a pain. that was one of the cons that I have, is that I feel like it's got a weird difficulty progression. The first island that you're working on seems to go nice and smooth, and you know there's definitely issues, and it is a bit challenging as you build up more and more. But when you go to the second island, it's a whole different ball game. With what they give you. To start with maybe what you have to do, because you don't know anything going in. It's like, hey, this is what's left on the island. This is the situation as far as weather is concerned. Here's your money, go. And It's like, oh, okay. And that second island, you have like no money.
Yeah. I've read a lot of reviews of the game and everything, and a lot of reviewers are very cynical about it. Actually, it's had a fair amount of positive reviews, which is great. But one of the things that everybody's kind of pointing out is that there's like no tutorial system, and you just go in head first, don't really know what you're doing. I agree, because the first island that I went to, I did not know. I literally got over an hour into it. I think it was hour and 11 minutes or so. And then I'm like, I got to start over. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm negative in the bank. All my dinosaurs are dying and everything's happening. It's bad news. I restarted. I had a better idea the second time around. As far as that second island's concerned, that thing is brutal. It's trying to kill you in every which way. And it doesn't help when you throw raptors into the mix. Like, it really doesn't. They're a nightmare. No. And that's the game. You know, that's what they're doing on purpose. So you know, whether the difficulty level does spring up a tad on that second island, the game is doing a great job of making you think on your feet, at least, even though it is very difficult right off the bat.
What's funny about it is you say, like, you know, you went in with no tutorial system, and it just dawned on me, I know how to play this game because I've played Operation Genesis, right? So I know not to go in building up a bunch of dinosaurs and doing all this. It's more or less about, like, you build a dinosaur to get people in your park, and then you give them something to buy, and you give them something to eat, right? And you kind of like dabble in a few things here and there. But I learned that over the process of playing Operation Genesis nights over nights over nights, right? So You say you didn't get a tutorial, and I think maybe it is a little unfair that the game assumes you've played Operation Genesis, which is ridiculous, right? So maybe that's a con.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, yeah, not everybody has played games like this, but I've played Roller Coaster Tycoon. It is identical to the style of gameplay that you need to, you know, think about. You have to go in very slowly, pace yourself, because you only have a limited money. Even in Roller Coaster Tycoon, you sort of have a backup, because there's, like financing and stuff that you can get extra money to back you up for a little while. This game, you can't, so you kind of just have to deal with what you have. And I learned, it wasn't even about the like showing off your park. It's about the aspects that you didn't realize, like the ACU, the ranger stations, all those things, those other buildings that are pretty necessary to your survival that I didn't even know about. Like, I didn't know that they were there. I didn't just kind of go in and check through all the menus to see what was available. I just kind of went in head first and just started doing a few things here and there. Maybe spent a little bit too much money or something. I don't know how it happened, really, but it just got out of control. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's not necessarily a con. I think it's just the way the world works, you know?
Yeah. Let's see. I'll say under my pros, I have, you know, fun, engaging gameplay. It's a lot of fun. Again, not exactly what I expected, but it's definitely a lot of fun. I can't wait to go back to it. It's got, like I said, the great nods. I like the upgrading options that it gives you. So, you know, your Hammond Creation Labs, which are basically your hatcheries, your restaurants, your power stations, everything you can build has upgrade options for you to research, so that you can max those out. That's a lot of fun. I think the trophies, if you're playing on PlayStation 4, and I'm assuming the achievements on Xbox One are the same names, they're amazing nods to the film, the names. You know, like, I think when you hatch your first raptor, the trophy's like Clever Girl, and just there's some other ones. I can't put my finger on them now, but really, like, any fun saying from the films is probably a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a great time with the gameplay, and it mixes it up quite often where, you know, you can choose how you want to attack your park, whether you want to be hands-on or you want to kind of step back and let things automate a little bit more. I like that aspect because I find myself going all different directions, and it depends. So far on the first island, I would say I was more so like back and forth between a lot of things. The second island, there was a lot more downtime where I necessarily didn't have enough money or things for the park to operate. So I don't know if that was just me or the gameplay itself, but I love the aspect of, like, you can drive your Jeep, you can, you know, shoot your trank guns, you can fly the helicopter, or you can automate all those things. And then there's the aspect of, like, going out and finding DNA and researching, doing all that stuff. I like that stuff, even though it is repetitious. Everything you just kind of do over and over and over again. So I wouldn't say there's a lot of surprises in that sense, aside from, like, oh, hey, here's another dinosaur breakout. I have to tackle it the same way every time, but it's still fun for me, no matter, you know, how many times I've done it.
Yeah, and I think that's really the same thing with any Tycoon game or even Genesis. There was a lot of repetition, but it's kind of one of those games where the repetition, it's a nice gameplay loop, and then there's nice rewards for completing missions and for completing contracts. There's great unlocks and stuff like that. So, you know, let's move on to maybe some cons. Was there anything specifically that stood out to you that you maybe didn't like?
Well, you just kind of mentioned, like, the contracts and missions and stuff. I'm kind of confused on some of those aspects because, like, I don't even know what's going on with the missions, particularly, like, the second island. None of them were unlocked until, like, much later in the process of that or progression of that island. So I didn't know what was going on there. So I was a little confused. And the contracts, I'll say some of them were like superfluous. Like I just didn't know why they were asking me to do these things because I either had them already in progress, like a genome, you have to get it to 50%. And then I look at that dinosaur and I'm like, well, it's already at 50%. What do I even have to do? I'm so confused. I don't really know where I'm supposed to go with this. So I just delete the contract. So maybe that's the thing is like, don't add a contract when you're already past that stage. I don't know. It's still kind of, you know, blurry in my head. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of the contracts are straightforward, but there are some that confuse me as well.
I guess what I kind of figured out was that I feel like the missions are like the actual story of the game. So like, you know, for most video game players, like the missions are more of like the main quest line. Mm-hmm. Those are going to go in line with what you've done and where you're at in your progress. I feel like contracts are more like side missions in a game or like side quests. And the thing with the contracts is I don't think they actually tie into anything as far as like your progress goes. I think they're on some kind of like randomized loop or something like that. And not even a loop because I have not had a repeat contract yet. But I think they're more or less just random files that get drawn up into your gameplay. And so, yeah, if you've done one already, you just delete it. It's not a big deal. There's going to be another one, you know, right around the corner. So that's kind of cool. To me, these add definitely some... These add a little more longevity to the game in a game in which I don't necessarily see there being a whole ton of replay value, and specifically not a ton of replay value because I think the building areas, I think they're ridiculously small.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I'm used to Operation Genesis where you build your island and you have this giant sprawling landscape to build on. And really on all five of these islands, all you get is one small valley to build in on each one. I almost would have rather been like, well, let's just do the whole thing on Nublar and do five sections of Nublar. I'm not saying that it had to be like, you know, as expansive as Witcher, but with instancing technology and stuff like that, I don't really understand why we can only have a very small valley on each individual island.
Yeah, that didn't get to me at first, but as we started to progress and I got through the first island, the first island actually felt pretty large. By the time we got to the second one, it shrunk it down. And I think when you shrink an island down and your gameplay size, like it definitely adds to the difficulty level. So I think that's also part of it. But I don't want to really be restricted when I'm dealing with a full island that has nothing on it, you know? And then we both unlocked Nublar, and I just took a look at it. I don't have all the dinosaurs or all the buildings, so I don't really want to start building yet when I don't have those opportunities available. But just scoping out the size of it, I was like, oh, that's seems very small. Now, granted, I didn't put anything down, so I can't really grasp it fully, but it definitely felt very small when you're talking about Isla Nublar. The center island of everything, the main island that you really want to dive into. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and we've all said we want to recreate Jurassic World the way it was. We want to recreate Jurassic Park the way it was. I don't know if we're going to have that possibility.
No, because, okay, even for as big as Nublar is, it's not like 100%. You know, taken over by humanity, right? Or dinosaurs. There's definitely like large areas of trees and mountains that are not accessible by life. But that's kind of where I'm getting at. Like, why not have multiple valleys connected by the monorail system? I looked at the area because I just unlocked Nublar about an hour before we're having this conversation. I looked at Nublar, and even though I only have like, I think I have 9 dinosaurs out of the 42 that are available today. And I looked at Nublar and I was like, I can fill this. I can fill this no problem between the building. And I haven't unlocked the, not the visitor center. What are they calling it now? The innovation center. Mm-hmm. I only have a few shops and a couple of restaurants, and I do have the monorail. But for as big of paddocks as I like to have with my herbivores especially, I looked at that and I was like, I can fill this right now. Like I could do it and it would take me, it would be no effort whatsoever because there's no money limitations on Nublar. So Yeah. I thought that was kind of interesting. And part of the small building area, one of the new mechanics they've added to this is the power mechanic, which is where you have to build. It's kind of like if you've ever played Fallout Shelter on the phone, you have to build power stations, and that power station can reach so far to a substation, and then your substations are going to power all your buildings. And then if you stretch too far, you maybe have to build another power station. And the more I think about it, the more I just like, I think the mechanic is cool. I just hate the execution. Like, I hate the execution of this. It adds these giant power lines, like telephone lines, all over your park, ruining skylines and, you know, eye line. It's just, it ruins the aesthetic of the island.
Yeah, I have to agree there, because, you know, what I like to do is kind of guide my camera, like take it down low to the level of the park goers, like the guests. And I kind of like to just like view the island that way. And it's sort of like when you're in your Jeep or something, you're just kind of driving around viewing it at street level. And yeah, those things are kind of atrocious. They're just everywhere. And I'm thinking about Jurassic World because that's the best comparison we have. I don't believe there were any of those in the movie. And not that it's supposed to be literal to the movie, but I want my park to be very clean. Jurassic World in the movie was very clean. Universal Studios, very clean. Disney World, very clean. You don't have those towering things in the middle of your park. Now, like I said, we've only played for a few hours. I can't for sure say that there's no unlock where you can put everything underground. I don't think so, but I can't guarantee that, you know?
I'm the same way. I can't guarantee it, but I really don't think so. I was looking at, like, unlocks, and it didn't say, there was nothing that says, like, underground power cables. There's large power cables. Well, I don't want larger power cables, you know? Like, I want smaller, very tiny power cables. All it really does is it just adds another thing in your way when you're trying to lay down important things, like, you know, important visual things like fencing or building. It's just another thing that's in your way. So this, what I think is a really cool mechanic as far as like how to stretch your power, becomes really obnoxious because it's so visually distracting.
Yeah. And, you know, even about the size of the park, I mean, I can't say for sure either that there isn't some expansion, you know, after you've reached a certain point. I don't know, but I don't think so. I know, like, when I used to play Roller Coaster Tycoon, it came with your park. Like, that's what you had. And then, once you had enough money, you could expand your park. I don't know if that's a possibility. I won't say for sure, but I don't think so either. And then, yeah, the visibility of your park, it's just, it definitely downgrades when you have all those things. It's just not as clean looking. And I don't know, maybe it's like the OCD in me, but I love to have very straight edges. I love my sidewalks to be perfect, which was very difficult at first, but I did get a hang of it, and I kind of like that aspect of it too now. But when you have pillars and substations and all these things all over the place, it does get a little messy. And especially when you can't fit all your buildings nicely together when you have all these different things, it makes it a little tough. But it's not distracting enough for me to be like, oh, I can't play this game. It's just a nitpick.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's totally a nitpick. I had made the joke to you, like, well, you know, because I had to run some power from, you know, one pillar to another. And I was like, and it was going to go right across my main entrance, right when visitors get off the monorail to come into the park. And I'm like, nothing says welcome to Jurassic World like looking at a giant power line when you first walk in. you know, it's not even like a fence. It's not even like it's got a dinosaur. It's just literally a power line, something that you would normally bury in an amusement park. So again, it's a cool mechanic, just a really weird execution.
Yeah, there, you know, how there's the, you can kind of zoom out, you press triangle on a PS4 and you can see above, you know, the park in a grid aspect. It's not like, it's like street, like, I don't know, the road map on Google versus street view or satellite or something like that. So
yeah, exactly.
In that case, there should be another level of button where you just press like L2 or something and you can see underneath the park so you could lay your grid. And I know I'm pretty positive. I think I've played like a SimCity or something along those lines where everything's underground, showing where the dots are connecting, giving you that power that you need. So that would be a much better aspect, but again, we're harping on it a little bit too much probably, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to go off at the negatives. Again, I think another pro is definitely the, and this is a perfect example, right? For me, a huge pro is Jeff Goldblum and Bryce Dallas Howard doing their voices in this game.
BD Wong, too.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah, BD Wong was in there, too. It's amazing. It feels so authentic. And then you get Owen, who's barely in the game, and it does not sound at all like Chris Pratt. And it's like, why bother? Like, this seems like an executive decision to be like, oh, you have to have Chris Pratt in there as some character. And it's like, but you really don't, because Claire's there.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm's there. You don't need to have Owen. And if you're not going to get Chris Pratt to do the voice, which, hey, look, budgetary stuff, I get it. But if you can't do it right, just, like, don't do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, I don't know, you don't need to adhere to some timeline, because there's, like, moments in this where Claire said something along the lines of, I know what happened in the park, you know, back in Jurassic World was, a nightmare, but I'm trying to do things better. So it's like, it's sort of set after the events of Jurassic World, you know, where she's maintaining all these other islands. But like, we also know that that never happened. So like, you don't need to have Owen there. It could have been some other random guy, random, you know, person, just dinosaur trainer. Just call him that. You know, it doesn't have to be anything. But his job
wasn't even dinosaur trainer. That was the weird part. His job was some veterinarian thing or something. I don't know. Like, he's, like I said, he's barely in it. I've seen him in 10 hours today. I've seen him like twice.
Yeah.
But all the other people were
great. You know, Jeff Goldblum was fantastic so far from what I've seen. He's the naysayer of everything. But also like introducing you to different aspects of the game. You have that one guy, Cabot Finch, who basically is kind of running the show and telling you what to do. He's fine. I like that. That guy's fine. He doesn't bother me at all. And Claire was a welcome, you know, thing there. I was glad to hear Bryce Dallas Howard actually in that role. Very comforting voice, so I like hearing her in the game. And BD Wong, I barely heard him as Dr. Wu so far, maybe a few times here and there, maybe even less than Owen. Again, a great addition. But that's fantastic. I love that they got them.
Yeah, I feel like BD Wong is actually going to be part of some kind of story point in this game, which is interesting, because he's very, like, he kind of comes off as like he's maybe a little jealous of you, the player, you're now managing. Yeah, so that kind of is different, and I'm kind of excited to explore more on that. Like I said, I'm not even halfway through the game yet, and I've put in so much time. So definitely really interesting take on this franchise, and I'm excited to play more.
Yeah, I literally, as I'm sitting here after we stopped, I just can't stop thinking about it. We nitpicked for a little bit there, but that doesn't, you know, undermine all the fun that we had. It is an absolute blast playing this game. And I cannot stop thinking about it. And I know, you know, we both, you know, just kind of played literally all day. Tomorrow and the next day won't be the same. I'll play when I can, but I'm going to be thinking about it like nonstop. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a really nice credit to Frontier. I think, you know, this is a game that if you're sitting on the fence, you should definitely jump over and start playing. I don't think that if you like Jurassic Park, I think you'll like this game. $60, you know, is for the American price point, maybe a bit high, but I wouldn't say it's like crazy high. Yeah. You know, this isn't a budget game. It doesn't feel like a budget game. So I feel like if you're at all interested in Jurassic Park and you like park builders, you should definitely jump on this one.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think you could pass it up. I think just by name recognition alone, you should be buying this game and playing it. I've been following a lot of people out there who have been having a blast. I know some people are waiting for a physical copy so that they can, you know, display the game case, on their wall or wherever they put up their stuff on their shelves. I'm very, very excited for everybody to kind of dive in so we can start talking about this a lot more on the show and, really analyze it once we get even deeper into the game.
Yeah, so I think the plan here is, you know, you guys out there, you got our reactions for the first day. I think I'm probably going to be quiet on it until I finish the game now at this point, unless it just comes up in general conversation. But I think there's definitely going to be an all-inclusive game trail based on this game. discussing it with some others, you know, comparing it to Zoo Tycoon and Operation Genesis, but definitely a more traditional game trail where we discuss the entire game, you know, and kind of its history. So stay tuned for that. And Brad, it's your show, but you're my guest on this segment, right? Is that right? Where can everyone find you?
Well, you know, I'm on Twitter at Brad Jost, but definitely follow the podcast if you're somehow listening to this without it being on the podcast. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, on our website, JurassicParkPodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jurassic Park Pod, Instagram, Jurassic Park Podcast. We're all over the place. YouTube, definitely watch YouTube. We're going to be having a lot of this content for Evolution, whether it's a stream or edited videos. I know Tom Fishenden's going to be working on a lot of it. So we've got a lot of stuff coming for YouTube for Evolution and most likely on Twitch eventually. We're still kind of figuring all that out. But we're very excited to bring you all this content and so much more.
Yeah, the original plan for me today was to stream this on Twitch at some point, but I got sick and I really don't want people looking at me while I'm super sick. So, other than that, you can find me at Aaron D. Byer on Twitter. That is pretty much the only place you can find me. I don't have any movies right now to talk about, soon, maybe. Stay tuned and thanks for listening.
Make sure to visit JurassicParkPodcast.com to find all our past episodes, brand new news articles, information on how to contact us, and much more. It's a great source for everything related to the podcast, and of course, Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Head to JurassicParkPodcast.com and help us build a great community.
Anybody hear that?
Five minutes. Drop what you're doing and leave now.